أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توغى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. It was mentioned from Quran that pure are for the pure, impure for the impure, clean with clean, unclean with unclean, and whatsoever from among the rituals, from among the performance, from among the entire creation of Allah that we have, which is pure and tayyib, it ends up in the paradise. Whatsoever is khabees, or whatsoever is not clean and impure, that ends up in the hell. There's no midway, there's no other way. So people who are clean, pure, as the term used in Quran, tayyibat, may that be the women, or tayyibun, may that be the men, they end up in the paradise. Good deeds, prayers, fasts, hajj, charity, services, education, which is all beauty, which is all good, ends in the paradise. Everything evil, which is detested, which is bad, in the hell. What happens to all this goodness or the benevolent deeds that are performed by those whose usul are lacking? Well, definitely they won't go waste. They will be kept aside and they will be taken away. They will be from them. And the good of those whose usul are faulty will be replaced with the bad of those whose usul were perfect and who had the wrongdoings on their part. And it was mentioned from Quran, from a hadith, that there is no zulm in this, there is no tyranny in this. And again, if you look into the khutbah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam, after the tragedy of Karbala, he too explains the same, that if someone could not meet up, or if his performance wasn't good, or these evil personalities who created the tragedy of Karbala, although they had prayers with them, although they had fasts with them, they had charity, they had services, but because of that grave sin, nothing from them will be accepted. So that performance itself was good. That should end up somewhere which is good. And that is the paradise. It will be taken from them and given to the good. So that is the ruling, that is the hikmat, wisdom, and the justice of Allah. So pure for the pure, impure for the impure. We have to do something that we also are enlisted among the pure, and so that we benefit from them. Or it shouldn't be as such as that it was mentioned yesterday with reference to Prophet Nuh, when the flood was flowing, when the skies were pouring, and when the son of Prophet Nuh was about to drown, and Prophet Nuh, he calls and says that, O God, have mercy on my son. The Almighty says that, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ, that he is not from you. Nuh, don't ask for that request. That will not be fulfilled. It shouldn't be as such that we who claim to be the followers of the Prophet of Islam, and if God forbid, on the Day of Judgment, He says that they are from us, and Allah says that, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ, they are not yours, That shouldn't be the case. So we have to try and do something that we get to Him by our performance, and by attaining that purification, we are not addressed by that address of Allah, which says in Nahu Laysa Min Ahlik, that they are not yours, they are not from you. Among the things, now when we say that pure for the pure, purification in every field, in every aspect, it's not only from the religious side of affairs, whatever ahkam that we have, the rules that we have, a perfection has to be there in each one of them. In addition to that, that purification and perfection has to be there in our livelihood. If it is our homes, in every corner of that home, that perfection has to be there. If it is a relationship between the husband and the wife, again, that perfection, that purification has to be there. Father and son and father, an alim with the ma'amun, the ma'amun with the alim, a marja'i taqlid with his followers, the followers with a mujtahid. So there is a relationship between each one member of the community, and that has to be tayyib, that has to be pure, that has to be clean. And only then it would end up also in the heavens and in the paradise. And again, if you see, when Prophet Adam was created, the first thing which Allah does is that He teaches him, He educates him. And after that education, He sends Hawa, and then He gives the blessings to him. Had He given the blessings to him, or had He given Hawa to him, and then without ma'rifah, without awareness, it would have been a mess. So first, that education is there, that ta'aleem is there, and then He says, now that you know, you are aware, you know how to live, this is a blessing, these are the other blessings. Or if you see the performance of Prophet Sulaiman, among the great prophets of Allah, to whom a rule was given, and who possessed that ability where he ruled not only on humans, but on jinn. He had that ability where he could converse and talk to all animals. That was given to him by Allah, as it was given to Prophet Dawood. There, before the rule is given to Prophet Sulaiman, Allah says, Sulaiman, do you want wealth? I can give you the wealth, whatever is on this planet to you, so that you have the charge of it. Or would you like a rank, a position that I can give you? You could be the ruler, you could be the king, you could be who rules on everything. Or do you want ma'rifah, awareness? Choose one of the three. Prophet Sulaiman says, God, wealth I don't want, rank I don't want. Give me ma'rifah, give me awareness. Allah says, now that you want awareness, with that awareness I will give you wealth, I will give you the rank as well. Without ma'rifah, if someone has the wealth, he could do everything which is wrong. He could use it in the negative way, use it to drink, use it to oppress others. Or if he was given that rank, that rule without ma'rifah, he could be a zalim. He could rule as he wished, as he pleased. But he says, I want ma'rifah. Then Allah says, with that ma'rifah, I will give you wealth and also the rank. So, pure for the pure, pure in every aspect, has to be there. So we have to do something that with this purity that we are after, we could ascend and we could elevate to the existence of Allah. He is the merciful, and beyond Him there is no one. That is the final destination that we have, which is Allah. And our ma'rifah, our actions, they are all based on our abilities. And He would never ask us for something that we haven't got the ability of. Based upon the abilities of every individual, the ahkam are there. He wouldn't ask anything more from an individual. We believe that on the concept of justice, justice that we have, the adala, it starts right from Allah, and from every stage, in all prophets, in all the imams, and also within our livelihood, that justice plays an important role. In our livelihood, when we say justice, it means ityanul wajibat wa tarkil muharramat, means doing of everything which is wajib, perform it. Whatever Allah has said haram, refrain it. Before that, if for a person to be classified as a just, as an adil, he has to be a Muslim. That is, that usul have to be there. Again, adala, it has different categories, different stages, and based upon the ability of an individual, those assignments are there. If a person is adil, he is just, his witnesses, his shahada, his testimony will be accepted. If he's not, it will not be accepted. If a person is adil, you can offer your prayers behind him. If he is adil, you can be in his taqleed. So these are the basic things. We have an adala which has to be very strong. For example, if we offer our prayers behind a person who we knew to be adil, but later on we found out that he was not just, he wasn't adil, what will happen to the prayers that we offered behind him? The ruling is that the prayers are fine, you don't need to repeat them, you don't need to make them up. In certain stages, the adala has to be very, very strong. That is, if a person was adil, you assumed he was an adil, and certain acts were performed, later on you found out that he wasn't adil, that act becomes null and void. For example, in, God forbid, the hukm and the ruling of divorce, we say, that is the fatwa and the ruling of Ahlul Bayt, that the formula of talaq has to be witnessed by two persons who are adil, who are just. Now if that formula was recited in the presence of two people who were adil, and later on we found out that one of them was not adil, or both of them were not adil, that talaq is batil, is not valid. And if that woman, after that talaq, gets married, that marriage also is batil, as if she belongs to the first husband still. So justice in certain cases has to be very strong, and a person has to have that 100% knowledge of the adalat of that individual. That is why in issues relating to divorces, what those who are after precautions and ihtiyat, they recite it in the presence of 4 or 5. Sometimes what they do in qom, where you've got a gathering of 1,000 people attending prayers, those formulas of divorces are recited in that congregation, so that definitely at least 2 people are present over there who are adil. The reason why these separations, the reason why these divorces, the reason why the problems come across in livelihoods, in family affairs between a father and a son, mother and a daughter, or the different members of a family, is lack of awareness, that ma'rifah, for which Allah, He says that, I taught Adam first, then I gave Hawa to him. Says to Prophet Sulaiman, he says, give me ma'rifah, give me that teaching, educate me, and then give me the blessings. So that awareness has to be there, and to put aside these complications which come across every now and then, that could be corrected by way of ma'rifah. Pure for the pure, and impure for the impure, that everything which is pure ends up with Allah in the heavens, everything which is impure ends up in the hell because it is not related to God. A person comes to the Prophet of Islam and he says that, Salawat please. An Arab, in very humble words, says to the Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, you have introduced a faith, a religion to us, which has so many ahkam, so many do's and so many don'ts. And then he says, you say prayers, I perform them, I do them. You say fasts, I cannot do them because of my health, which does not allow me to fast. And your Quran says, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجٍ, that someone who is ill, someone who is sick, he does not need to. And then he says that you say khums, you say zakat. My abilities are such that I am hand to mouth. There is no saving, I don't have enough wealth. So zakat I cannot pay. Khums, I have no saving, I cannot give. And then he says, you say jihad, you see my body, you see my looks, how weak I am, and I can't stand properly, and you want me to fight? I can't fight. A sword I can't hold. And then he says that you've got these ahkam, you say that nawafil 54 to be recited, to be offered. I cannot, because the moment, if you tell me to offer a 2 rakat prayer, for me, my sleep is much more dearer and I like to sleep. And then he says that out of everything that you have told me, it's only the prayer that I can do, nothing else. What will happen to me? Will I end up in the paradise or in the hell? Rasulullah says that I'll tell you 3 things. Do these 3 things, and if you do them, you will be with me, my neighbor, in the paradise, next to me, with me. And then he says that if you do that, innama yataqabbalullah minal muttaqeen, Allah also will accept from the muttaqeen. Now I know that you can't do any one of them, only the prayers, but in addition to them, just these 3 things if you take into consideration. And then he says that the first thing I want you to do is that this tongue of yours, you should keep it under control. Have it in your control. Never swear with that tongue, anything indecent, anything wrong, never ever utter from that tongue. And then, if the tongue is clean, if the tongue is pure, he says that I will correct everything else wrong which is in your life. A person during the time of Prophet Musa, he supplicates to Allah. He says, God, and he had that hope, that yaqeen, that Allah will respond to him. Wahy is revealed to him, to Prophet Musa, saying that, inform that person that none of his pledges I will accept, nothing from him will I listen. And the reason for that is because he's got a bad mouth. He swears. He swears at God, he swears at every other member of the community, in the community. For that reason, I will not listen to him. And then he says that the moment he cleans his tongue, and then after that, there is no need for all these recitals of all these prayers to perform. After cleaning his tongue, if he says, Ya Allah, just once, I will accept everything from him. So again, purification of the tongue, that pure with the pure, a pure tongue ascends. As it was repeated yesterday, that everything tayyib, it elevates, it ascends. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. And in addition to that, any good deeds that you perform, that again help and make elevate that thing. So, the tongue has to be clean. Now this is something which is witnessed from Quran. What we see today in this environment that we are living in, and how things are being promoted, may that be the Hollywood, may that be all the other woods that have come up, they are promoting a language which is a foul language, a swear language. The more swear words a person uses in his talk, the better he is understood. The more, the higher his position is in the society. When it's the other way around, again what we see is, it is the twisting and changing of an identity of what is wrong taking the place of good, good taking the place of bad. Someone who doesn't swear, he's someone off the ground. Someone who swears a lot is liked. Quran says that if you clean your tongue, everything else in you, Allah says, I will clean you. So you just one step forward. Says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. With your tongue, have a good say. That is, pure say. No sins, no swearing. If you do that, if you purify your mouth, says, Yuslih lakum a'malukum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Says that if you do that, I will correct your a'mal. If the performance is not good, as a result of you purifying your tongue, your mouth, and stopping to swear, as a result of that, I will correct your deeds, your a'mal, and I will forgive and waive your sins. It is a word of Allah, and Allah never lies. Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyul Azeem. That Allah, He never lies. He is the truthful, He is always truthful. Prophet Musa was... Prophet Musa, he was on the minbar giving a lecture. Now prophets when they talk, a'imma when they talk, it is not a talk like the talk of ours. Ours is just a movement of a tongue which is stuck to the head and to the vocal cords. Ma'sumeen, anbiya, when they talk, it is a throat which is connected to the tongue, to the word of God. Prophet Musa was known as Kalimullah, someone who spoke to God. And such personalities do not exist, or even if they exist, they must be very, very little. There have been orators, speakers, khutaba, of great honor, that when they spoke, it was as if everything was being pumped into the hearts of people. A khatib was once reciting, and a large crowd, thousands of people sitting in the grounds, listening to his lecture. It starts to rain. And the khatib, now this is someone whose tongue is connected to God, says to the clouds, to the rain, stop now, after the majlis. Everything stops. Once the majlis was wrapped up, was finished, it starts to rain. Now we don't have such people today. Once Prophet Musa, he was on the minbar, reciting, giving the lecture, and it was as such that the whole topic was so touching that one of the persons in that majlis, he was moved, stood up, he ripped off his clothes. And then wahi is revealed. Musa, tell that person, you don't need to rip your shirt. If you do need to rip, it's that heart which needs to be clean. If a heart is clean, then everything else is fine. Over here in that ayah, it said that clean your mouth, clean your tongue, stop those swear words, Allah, I will correct everything of yours in your life and I will forgive everything. Now this is a lesson to each one of us. that in the households that we live in, we have to mind our tongues a lot. A lot. Sometimes maybe that the husband gets enraged, swears at the wife. The wife gets enraged, swears at the husband. Or what we see coming up today, children. If the parents talk too much, ah, mom, what's that? That ah is that of which Quran says, لا تقل لهما أفن. Or the son says the same thing. It may not be a word, but that yelling, that saying that ah, that is of, which is a sin. We have no right to say ah to our parents. No matter even if they are wrong, they may be wrong, but we have no right to say that to them. Listen to them. And that is again a sin which is being committed by the tongue, although we are totally unaware, which is something which is being taught to us in the televisions that speak to your parents in that way. A tongue being contaminated, although we are not even aware of what is happening. Husbands may yell at wives, wives may yell at husbands. That purity has to be observed in every field. Now all this is a lesson to myself. It may so happen that the husband comes home and the wife wants to go out to one of her in-laws, to her relatives. Now her relatives are the in-laws for her husband. And the moment you say something which is connected to the in-laws, may that be the wife or the husband, there is a no first and then the yes comes later. Now if the husband comes home and immediately if she says that, let's go to our mom, definitely it's going to be a no. What you do is, she makes him rest, relax first, give a cup of tea and orange juice, and then you say that if you have time, let's go. There will be a yes then. The same thing is with the other side. So we have to be a little bit, not political in the negative sense, of what we say, how we deal at home, with our children, with our wives, with our spouses. And that way, the atmosphere also will be much more relaxed, much more understanding between the spouses, between the children. And as a result, that purity which we are talking about can be seen and felt much more and much easier. As a result of that, Quran says that purity elevates, that purity ascends. We could also ascend and elevate with that. Teaching that we learn over here from Quran, from Ahlul Bayt, from the Prophet is that we have to be polite. We have to be polite. We have no right to yell at anyone, nor the husband. The husband cannot say, because I am the man of this house, I have the right to yell. No, he has no right to yell. Quran says, إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَسَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ, that the worst voice is the voice of the donkeys. It's the donkeys who yell. The teaching is that, be polite. One of the, when Ashab of the Prophet, his name is Maaz bin Jabal, he is a qualified person living during the time of Rasulullah, who knows to read and write, and he knows Quran. And this person is being seconded and sent by Rasulullah to Yemen as a muballigh, to propagate. Rasulullah walks with him from Medina to the outskirts of Medina. All the way he walks with him. So what does he do with him? Walking to him, teaching him, educating him, that now that you are being sent to Yemen from me to educate the people, to inform the people, there are 30 things that you have to observe. 30 rules which Rasulullah lays for that muballigh, for that person who propagates, that 30 advices. One of them is that وَلِينَ الْكَلَامِ وَحُسْنَ الْكَلَامِ, says you have to be polite to the people. Speak to them good, in good language. Be polite to the people, speak to them softly. Which is Quran says that if you speak loud, it's إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ, it's the voice of the donkeys. It's the donkeys who always bray, not humans. And the Rasul says that don't yell at the people. Don't walk on their nerves. Be good to them. Don't make them tired. Don't make them hate. Speak to them good and beautifully. About the love. Now again, this is the beauty of Karbala, which we said yesterday, that Ma ra'aytu illa jameela, whatever was seen in Karbala was beautiful. From the 2nd of Muharram, where they disembark in Karbala, set down in Karbala, until the last day, which is the day of Ashura, Imam is polite to his enemies as well. Enemies who are ruthless, who are worthless, who are bad, whatever a person can think of can be uttered to them, which is a fact. So politely Imam speaks to them, so dignified, that it is amazing. We never saw in any report, in any hadith, that Imam has addressed them as "you damn dumb people, you stupid people." No, never. He never said "you illiterate people." He never said that "you wretched poor people." Never. How he addresses them says, "Inna haula lazimu ta'ata shaitan wa taraku ta'ata rahman." That they have obligated upon themselves the obedience of shaitan, and they have put aside the obedience of the merciful God, says they. This is how what they have done. Never uses any swear words to any one of them. Or if you see the teaching of Allah to Prophet Musa, that when he goes to Fir'aun, how he addresses him. Who is Fir'aun? Someone who claims to be the God and who has stood against the God and the band A, enemy of Prophet Musa and Harun. Says, "You two will go there. Idhaba ila Fir'aun, innahu tagha." And then how do you speak to them? How do you speak to Fir'aun? Says, "Faqula lahu qawlan layyana." Speak to him softly, gently. "La'allahu yatadhakkaru aw yakhsha." That by your speaking to him politely in that lenient and soft way, he might be reminded, or he might be afraid. He might be afraid of God. "La'allahu yatadhakkaru aw yakhsha." Then they say, "God, قَالَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّا نَخَافُ أَن يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ أَن يَطْغَى." Then he said that we are scared, we are afraid. Allah says, "La تَخَافَ." Don't be scared, don't be afraid. "إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى." Don't be afraid, I am with you. I will hear and I will see. Again, Prophet Musa doesn't step forward and say that, start swearing at Fir'aun. No, he speaks to him leniently, and that soft speaking has an effect. And that is the teaching that is taught to each one of us, that speak politely, speak softly, speak leniently. نَظِّفُوا أَفْوَاهَكُمْ. That you have to keep your mouths clean. Mouth should be clean. In another report from our 8th Imam, he says that طَهِّرُوا أَفْوَاهَكُمْ لِأَنَّهَا طُرُقُ الْقُرْآنِ. That you have to have your mouths clean. Why? Because that mouth of yours, with that you will recite Qur'an. When Allah recited Qur'an to Jibreel and Jibreel to the Prophet of Islam, Allah himself is pure, he is tahir from every aspect. Jibreel, again, he is clean, he is pure. The angels, again, kiram in barara, Quran says. The medium, which is Jibreel, who carries this word of Allah, is pure. The destination, which is the pure heart of Rasulullah, that too is pure. Now, because we utter and recite the verses of Allah, which is the word of God, which landed onto the pure heart of Rasul, through that pure medium, we who want to utter and recite these verses, our tongues also have to be pure. طَهِّرُوا أَفْوَاهَكُمْ لِأَنَّهَا طُرَقُ الْقُرْآنِ. That keep your mouths clean, because they are the path, the way from where Qur'an is being recited. So that person comes to Rasul and says, this is what my abilities are, I can't do anything except prayers, nothing else. Rasulullah says, alright, say your prayers with no nawafil, no homes, no zakat, no fast, because you can't, no jihad on you. In addition to the prayers, keep your mouth clean, no swear words from your mouth. And the second thing he says to this Arab is that keep your stomach clean. That never, ever consume anything which is haram from the stomach of yours. It is not as such that Allah, to those to whom He has provided a lot of sustenance, He has guaranteed that in that 70, 80, 100 years of life, which will be given to him, he will have biryani every day. It's not guaranteed. He hasn't guaranteed that. Nor has he said that I will give you chulu kebab every day. Well, to some, sometimes he gives chulu kebab, sometimes biryani, sometimes ash, sometimes what and what not. So that sustenance in general, he says, I guarantee I will provide it to you. But what? That will differ. Sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's a little. Says that, because of this wisdom of Allah that He has laid, that sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's a little. It shouldn't be as such that when it is a lot, haram goes in us. When there's nothing, because now when there's nothing, we can't even eat anything. We can't say that we didn't eat haram because we didn't have any. You didn't have anything to eat. That is not a test. That is not an exam. A person is tested when he possesses all that is available to him, and then he consumes. So Rasulullah, he says that I protect your stomach from halal and whatever is halal to be consumed. Yesterday it was said that wal jannatu la yadkhuluha illa tayyib, that the paradise, it nothing will enter in it but that what is tayyib, what is clean. During the time of our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now the talk is on tayyib, that pure ends up pure, clean is with clean, bad is with bad. And in addition to that, adab, the manners, the ethics that we have to have. Among them is the tongue to be protected, to be lenient, to be polite, and how the performance, the attitude of an individual is. We do not know that from all the things that Allah has explained to us to be done and not to be done, which one of them in it is the pleasure of Allah. We do not know. No one knows. Out of, for example, 1,000 mustahabbat that you have before you, might be one of them is picked and chosen by Allah. We don't know which one is that. It might be a prayer from someone, it might be a recital from someone, it might be a service from someone, it might be a help from someone, it might be a hajj from someone. We don't know. Everyone is different. That is why we are said that فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, that when it comes to the khayrat, to the good, do as much as it is possible, as much as it is possible. Because one of them is definitely going to be liked by Allah, we don't know which one. During the time of our sixth Imam, a person called Bushra Hafi, now this is a person who is drowned in sins. There is no sin which he doesn't commit. And it so happens that once he is walking in the streets of Medina, and there he finds on a piece of paper written Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He picks up that paper, respects it, and in the walls, one of the walls of, in the streets, there was a hole. He rolls that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that paper, respected it, and puts it in the wall so that it doesn't fall on the ground so that people step on it. A small thing, that is the respect to the name of God which he did. That night he has a dream, and that is Allah. He is telling him, you respected my name, which is Rahman and Rahim. I will elevate you for that little thing which you did. A person we're drowned in sins. And it so happens that once our sixth Imam, he was passing by his house, and there he hears the maids singing and dancing, and there was that majlis of theirs, majlis of sins being committed in that house. He comes by the door, and the watchman, the caretaker, Imam asks him, "This house, does it belong to a slave, or the person who owns this place is a free man?" The slave, he was shocked at the question of the Imam, and he says that he is a free man, he is not a slave. Now this conversation was heard by Bushr, who was inside the house, but he did not really hear what was the talk between the two. And then Imam, he walks away. Bushr, he comes out, says to the watchman, "What was it? I heard some conversation going on over here." The watchman said that, "Yes, someone came here and he asked me, the owner of this place, is he a slave or a free man?" And then I said to him that he is a free man. And then he said that if he was a slave, he was otherwise, he wouldn't have been like this. This word of the Imam shook him. Bushr, without any footwear, without any slippers in his feet, he rushes in the streets behind the Imam and falls on to the feet of the Imam and says to him that, "Imam, truly speaking, I am a slave, I am not a free man. Slave of who? Slave of Shaitan. That everything which he said to do, I was doing, I was committing them." And then he repents, says, "Forgive me. From now on, it's going to be a reboot of my system, and nothing whatsoever existed in me till now will ever exist." He repents, and as Allah said to him in his dream, that "You respected my name, I will elevate you." And it so happens that he becomes a good, pious person, and from that day until the last day of his life, he never wore any footwear in his feet. Why? He said that it was because I was forgiven without having anything in my feet when I rushed to the Imam and Imam forgave me. As a reward of that, until the last moment of my life, I will walk without any footwear. And then, as a result of that tawbah of this individual, it so happens that wherever Bushr Hafi stepped in the streets, no animal ever dropped its droppings in that place where his footwear, where his footsteps were, as a result. So, adab, that is the small adab, respecting the name of God, Allah elevates, Allah exalts, pure for the pure. Attitude in the family again, that is something which we have to observe. Sometimes we come across wild characters in a household. Sometimes these wild characters are for a spiritual uplift of an individual. Now, God forbid, and may Allah never have such tough tests and exams from any one of us. During, I think it's about 150 years ago, you might have, maybe the Iranians, or those who speak Farsi over here, they might have heard the name of this artist called Fisharaki, Marhuma Fisharaki. He is someone who is known in Irfan, in mysticism, and he has a large number of students. And in those days, traveling wasn't easy. There wasn't any internet, no telephones as well. And now, one of the students, he has questions. He wants them to be answered, and there is no way, no access, and it were the summer holidays, and he has to set off to meet his teacher to get the answers for these questions. And it took about 2 days for him to get to the destination where the Ustad was living. And then when he comes there, he comes and knocks at his door, the address that was given to him. Our lady, she comes out and starts swearing at this person. in that very wild way. And then he says, I've come to meet this person. He says, he's not in. Come after 3 hours, he should be back by then. And then he says, I traveled all this distance to meet this person who is known in his akhlaq, in his irfan, and these questions and problems were to be sorted out by him with this attitude I see at home, at his home. What should I expect from him? If it was his home, that wife shouldn't be like that. At least she should have been trained. He was just thinking and is occupied in his questioning to himself. He sees from a far distance that an old man is coming towards him, and there is an animal before him, and he's got something in his hand. When he comes nearer and nearer, he sees that there's a snake, a poisonous snake in his hand, and there is a lion walking in front of him. Now he himself is scared what he sees, and then says, are you the person? He says, yes. He says, these are the questions, and what I see is over here, and what did I see in your house? How come when I knock at the door, that lady, she comes out, swears at me, bashes me? And he says that what you see with me today, the snake in my hand and that lion in front of me, is as a result of that tolerance I have at home. As a result of that tolerance. Now, it is not always the woman who is bad. It might be the other way. Men are also bad. Men are also wild. There has to be this tolerance between the husband and the wife. Now, this is something, an example that was given to the highest and the peak levels. Now, we are living in an environment, an atmosphere where the level of awareness is very low, or it is tough to get. And as a result of that, we have all these different drifting apart of individuals and members of a community. So, pure for the pure, impure for the impure. As salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So, adab has to be observed throughout our life should we want to end up in the way as it is mentioned. This adab can be seen a lot in Karbala, a lot. Right from the day one until the day when Sayyid al-Shuhada passes away. And even from then until this caravan arrives back to their destination, that adab is seen to the maximum. The adab which Hazrat Zainab sallallahu alayha possesses in the management of affairs after her brother, when the task is handed over to her, that is again amazing. We have all gathered here today to commemorate the 40th day, which is the Arba'een of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. On a day like today in Karbala, the first one to pay his visit to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, that is on the 40th day, is Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. He is a Sahabi of the Prophet of Islam, an old man. He comes to Karbala, and again that adab which he taught us how to approach the ziyarat and the haram of this Imam is that he comes by the river, washes himself, performs a ghusl, wears perfume, and then comes to the grave of Abu Abdullah. Now Jabir, due to that old age, he's lost his sight. He says to those who were with him that, let me touch the grave of Abu Abdullah. He is helped and his hand is extended. He puts his hand onto the grave of Abu Abdullah and then he is unconscious. When he comes back, he gains consciousness. There he says, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, 3 times. And then says, and at that time, the caravan has arrived from Sham. that is Imam Sajjad, Hazrat Zainab, and all the other members who are available are there now. And then Jabir, he says that after saying Ya Hussein three times, says that when I say Salaam, I expect a reply back. But then he says that, Hussein, how can I expect a reply back from you? Because you have no head. It's just a body that is being laid and buried over here. And it was on that day of Arba'een that the head of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is brought by Imam Sajjad and it is buried in Karbala with the rest of his body. It is again the adab that we learn from Sayyid al-Sajideen that when he is in the palace of Yazid and he's got all of his envoys present over there and Ahlul Bayt also present, and the reporters, they step forward and give the news of what has unfolded in Karbala. One of the reporters, when he is giving the report to Yazid, he is shaky. He is hyphenated. He cannot utter the report and the news properly. Yazid is sharp at him, yells at him and says, stand up properly, speak up, speak properly. We won. Because we won, the report or the breaking news which you have to give has to be in a dignified way. The reporter says that Yazid, these people, may that be the young ones, the children or the elderly, all of them, they shook us, they shattered us, they broke us. Says how? Says the dignity which they have, we afflicted upon them every affliction, every bala, every musibah, every atrocity. Not one of them bowed down before us, not even for a small thing. Water which was scarce, not available to anyone, even that little infant would never extend his hand or her hand before us for that water. That was that dignity which we found in these people, and how can we speak about them? In that majlis of that mal'oon, when everyone was talking, there Imam Sajjad, he says that, Yazid, allow me to step up and speak a little bit so that people, they know what has happened. Or at least for the sake of ajr and reward, let me enlighten and speak a little bit. Yazid says, no, because I know Ahlul Bayt, if they are to utter a word, it's going to be a mess for Yazid. That is going to be a revolt against Yazid. He says, no. The people present over there say that it is just a gathering of some prisoners over here. Now he's in cage, he's in chains. Let him speak a little bit. Let's see what he has to say. Upon the insisting of the people, Yazid allows Imam Sajjad to talk. Now what does he say? Says, Ayyuhan Nas, O people, Atina Sittan, that Allah has given us six things and He has glorified us with seven. What are they? Says, Atina Al-Ilm, Allah has given us the knowledge, tolerance, samaha, highness, fasaha, shaja'a. And then says that وَالْمَحَبَّةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and Allah has given us, blessed us with love in the hearts of mu'mineen. And then says فُضِّلْنَا بِأَنَّ مِنَّ النَّبِيِّ الْمُخْتَارِ, and we have been exalted, we have been made virtuous by that among us, from us is the Prophet who is the chosen one. Who is that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And then says, wa minna siddiq, from us is the siddiq, the truthful. Wa minna tayyar, from us is the tayyar. And then says, and from us is that lion of Allah, which is the lion of the Prophet of Allah. From us is the Sayyida, who is the chief of the ladies of the paradise, of the worlds. وَمِنَّا سِبْتَا هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. That from us, that is the Ahlul Bayt, are the grandsons of the Prophet of Islam. And then says, those two are the chief of the young lads of the paradise. And then says, فَمَنْ عَرَفَنِي فَقَدْ عَرَفَنِي. From those of you present over here, whosoever knows me, knows me. Those who do not know me, Imam says that, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْنِي أَمْبَعْتُهُ بِحَسَبِي وَالنَّسَبِي. I will inform you what my lineage is, what my rank is. And then says, أَنَبْنُ مَكَّةَ وَمِنَى. I am the son of Mecca and Mina, the son of Zamzam and Safa, the son of the one who carried zakat and charity in his aba, in his platen, and he distributed among the people. And then says, Ana ibnu khayri man tafa wa sa'a. If you want to know who I am the son of the one who performed the best tawaf, who performed the best sa'i in this hajj. And I am the son of the one who performs the best hajj. Ana ibnu man hamala ala al-buraq fil hawa. I am the son of someone who was carried in that buraq in the atmosphere. Ana ibnu man asra min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. I am the son of someone who was carried from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. And then says that, فَسُبْحَانَ مَنْ أَسْرَى أَنَبْنُ مَنْ بَلَغَ بِهِ جَبْرَائِيلَ إِلَىٰ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. I am the son of someone who was taken by Jibreel to Sidrat al-Muntaha, which is the last point, and from then on Jibreel also was not permitted. I am the son of someone who was so close to Allah that a yard or less. And then says, أَنَا ابْنُ مَنْ سَلَّى بِمَلَائِكَةِ السَّمَاءِ. I am the son of someone who offered his prayers with the angels in the heavens. أَنَا ابْنُ مَنْ أَوْحَى إِلَى الْجَلِيلِ مَا أَوْحَى. I am the son of someone upon whom the revelations were from Allah. أَنَا ابْنُ مُحَمَّدٍ الْمُصْطَفَى. The son of Mustafa. And I am Hatta, and then he starts saying, Ana, 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 Ana. Then the crowd present over there, they burst into tears and they start crying. Yazid says, stop, enough. Says to the Muazzin, ascend the pulpit and say the Azan. When he starts saying the Azan, the first Allahu Akbar which he says, Imam in reply says, كَبَّرْتَ كَبِيرًا لَا يُقَاسْ. That you've glorified the Most High who cannot be compared to anyone. وَلَا يُدْرَكْ بِالْحَوَاسْ. And then when he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ قَالَ عَلَى. And then he says that, شَهِدَ بِهَا شَعْرِي وَبَشَرِي وَلَحْمِي وَدَمِي وَمُخِي وَعَظْمِي. That you testify that there is no God but Allah. That is something which my hair, my skin, my bone marrow, everything of mine witnesses that there is no God but Allah. And the moment he said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, iltafata ala man a'la al-mimbar ila Yazid wa qal ya Yazid. He says, Yazid, Muhammad, is he your grandfather or my grandfather? If he is your grandfather, you are a liar. If he is my grandfather, then why all these afflictions? Why all these atrocities upon us? The adab which Ahlul Bayt teach us, it's amazing. Again, this because the Ashra-i Zainabiyah, the 40th day, is related to Hazrat Zainab. The credit goes to her. How, with all that honor, with all that dignity, with all that adab, from the 10th of Muharram, she carries her mission. And with that dignity and with no means at all, she takes this caravan from there to Kufa, from there to Sham. And again, when she comes back, the same scenario. In those prisons of Sham, which the reports say that they were so bad that there wasn't any roof. At some point there was a roof, the roof which could fall off any moment. And the extreme temperatures in Sham, in Damascus, were such that the prisoners, which is Ahlul Bayt, they had blisters on their faces. It was so hot and so cold. And due to these extreme conditions. And it was there where Ruqayya, she passes away and she is laid to rest. So Hazrat Zainab, she is the one who carries this mission from point to point in the utmost dignity. And it was after the sermon of Imam Sajjad that Yazid, he allows them and gives them a house so that they get together and be there. Or in a way we could say that was the point after the khutbah of Imam Sajjad, that official aza and official mourning of Ahlul Bayt, of Sayyid al-Shuhada starts, and this missionary of this aza is Hazrat Zainab. She weeps the most, she weeps the best. And the adab again that is seen from Hazrat Zainab regarding Sayyid al-Shuhada, it's amazing that in the last moments of her life, her husband Abdullah bin Ja'far, he says that when it is time for her to depart from this dunya, she calls me and says that, Abdullah, take me out in the open under the sun. He says, why? Says, my brother, he died in the sun, in the heat, in that desert, and you want me to die under this roof, in this house? I can't. She is taken out in the open under the sun. And then he says that, I saw that she's got something in her hand. She hugs it, kisses it, puts it onto her chest, repeats over and over again. And then says that when I came near her, it's that blood-stained cloth of her shirt, of her brother, which she has from the day of Ashura, keeps it, hugs it, kisses it, puts it onto her chest, and that way she gives away her life. The adab which we learn from Hazrat Zainab, it's amazing. On the day of Ashura, when everything has perished, everything has collapsed, everyone has passed away, she says that, Hussein, whenever I wanted to meet you, whenever I wanted to see you, I came to see you two times, three times a day. It was a condition which I had in my wedding, that whenever I wanted, I should be allowed to see you. And I came with you on the way. I traveled this journey of mine. And then she says that, till now, Hussein, whenever I wanted to see you, I could have seen you with my eyes. But now that Hussein of mine is broken, shattered into pieces, I need 1,000 eyes to look at you. When did you fade from me? For me to look for you. When did you drift from me? For me to wish for you. When were you hidden to me? For me to search for you. With 1,000 rays and flashes, you have appeared to me. I need 1,000 eyes for me to look at you. Hussein, when were you hidden to me? For me to look for you. When were you hidden to me? For me to look for you. When did you fade from me? For me to wish for you. For the 1,000 rays and flashes, you have appeared to me. I need 1,000 eyes for me to look at you. You are not an occultation for me to pray for you. You are not an occultation for me to pray for you. Nor are you lost to me for me to search for you. With a thousand rays and flashes, you have appeared to me. I need a thousand eyes for me to look for you. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma aghfir lana wa liwalidayna wa liman wajaba lahu haqqun alayna wa liman wassana bid-du'a wa li jami'i ummati Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ajjil fi faraji maulana sahib az-zaman.